that covers land within a state forest. And then when you come down, it also has that land use plan is adopted for land outside of the state forest. And could they possibly be in the same area? And in one case, the native land wasn't included in the FMA and can't be included for 3 years.
Mr. Chair, I don't think this is meant to apply to private land. It's just meant to apply to state land, not state forest land.
For land outside of state forests. Why would you not want...
Because the forest, the regional land use plan may cover portions of the state land that are not classified as state forest. And we can offer timber sales in land that's not classified as state forest.
And that this wouldn't be misread as forest owned by other than state?
I don't believe so, but if that was a concern, I wouldn't mind putting an explicit clarifier in.
Any more discussion? Chairman, Representative Hutchins.
I think that given the adoption of the amendment Representative James submitted earlier, which does include the private land within the forest and the ascension of the private land operator, that whatever we do with this amendment here will couple with the private operator. So we're essentially setting the condition not only for the state forest operations here, but also the private operators that might be included in the plan, I think.
That assumes that previous amendment had to do with forest management agreements and where you had a cooperative land sale.
Yeah.
And in that, but it was cooperative. So the state's not going to enter into one that's only a private one. It's for state forest and something else. And so that would clearly, just under the portions in the state forest, would satisfy the requirement here that was a sale on state land within a regional land use area. And I'd point out that what we're talking about here is a regional land use plan. It's the area that's under the regional land use plan that's at discussion and not under the FMA.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion? If not, we're ready for the question. Roll call vote.
Representative James?
No.
Representative Bundy?
No.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Green? Oh. Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Carney?
Yes.
Representative Hudson?
No.
Representative Williams?
No. We have next before us a revised X28.
28, and that's mine. I move that amendment.
Object for discussion purposes.
Okay. What this does is includes, I'm having such a struggle trying to keep the bill from all these amendments. I'm sorry. I have to just take a little time here. On page 4, line 11, to add a new paragraph to read, extent to which the proposed agreement provides for processing in the state of timber harvested to the extent permitted by law, which is the instructions to the forest management agreement that would say we want some in-state processing, if we can do that. And then the next part of it, which is at page 5, line 19, would be to add a new subparagraph, provisions requiring the processing of the timber in the state if that is the highest and best use of the timber as determined by the commissioner and if permitted by law. And because we want to have the highest and best use of the timber. And then, in case either of those are unconstitutional, determined to be, and even though we have a severability determination on all legislation, wanted to make it absolutely sure that if either of those were determined to be unconstitutional, that the rest of the bill would stand.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the intent here, and I would prefer to see the effective date only take effect when this is legalized, but if in the absence of being able to do that, I prefer at least it's a stronger statement than letter of intent of any kind just in the bill. So I would support it.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with those comments. We've often talked about promoting workforce in Alaska and value-added products in Alaska, and while there are some restrictions to what we can do constitutionally, this at least makes a real strong statement about the fact that we want this type of economic development to occur in our state, and we want to promote our jobs and value-added products within our state. So I support the concept and the amendment also.
Would you like to make that amendment to the amendment, Representative Kearney?
I don't know quite how to tie to the effective date.
The effective date to the bill or the effective date to the...
If I might respond to that, Representative Kearney, I think that the effective date will be a given. I suspect that that we will be challenged on these things. I think the fact is I don't think we passed a piece of legislation that we don't think we might be challenged on, and I think that that'll be a matter of time to determine whether or not that is effective.
Representative Davis.
Mr. Chair, I think that the way to make it happen is for us to petition our congressional delegation to ask Congress to exempt us from the interstate commerce restriction. And then if, you know, as soon as that happens, then we know that we could have a provision like this in the bill.
Acquire about it, right?
Yeah.
Representative James.
Yes, if I could respond to that, and I think that's a separate issue, but I think if SB 310 hasn't done anything else, it certainly has had the Alaskans rally behind that thought and idea, and I'm sure that that will be done. Whether or not we are successful, it remains to be seen, but surely that is the case. In the meantime, I'm not willing to hold up the whole process until that happens. And so by having this in the bill, that would give some ability for the commissioner, the department, when looking at proposals, to choose a proposal that, in fact, is for in-state processing. And if that is challenged, then so be it. But this tells them that's what we want them to do, and I think we do need to have that in the language in the bill.
I have to agree with Representative James on that, and I think Representative Kearney.
Mr. Chairman, I have a proposed amendment to the amendment, page 6, line 7, insert a new section that says the commissioner may not enter into a final agreement until the state receives from the federal government an exemption from federal law. Thus, the state may require the timber harvest of the agreement to be processed within the state.
Do you wish to make that amendment?
I move that amendment. I'll
object.
I'll
object.
That'd be one way to do it.
Well, it's not impossible, just to speak to
the amendment. Amendment to the amendment is there. You wish to speak to the amendment to the amendment?
Yes, I do.
Please do.
Mr. Chair, I've attempted to get an opinion from our Attorney General, and I don't think that we've gotten one yet on this issue, but it's my understanding that we can't put a requirement in the bill that we would like to see in there that provides in-state processing unless we get this exemption. It's also my understanding, having read excerpts of the congressional record, that the state of Oregon has done this. And so I think that it's, and that there wasn't any particular objection to that. So it's not something that we can't do. It's not something that we can't do in a reasonable amount of time. And I think putting this constraint in there would put some pressure on us to get it done so that we can really see it happen. I'm tired of seeing the trucks roll by my front yard heading to Japan.
Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if we might speak or hear from DNR representative here on the subject. He and I had some discussion, and I think it might be beneficial to hear his response on this.
DC.
You,
yes. Sorry.
That's okay.
You all look the same, Chris.
Hold on, please.
For the record, let me say that I've labeled a copy of the amendment. It's labeled 28A amendment to the amendment.
It may be in your packet says 35.
Very briefly, you've got a lot of work to do. My name is Christopher Gates. I'm the Director of the Division of Economic Development. And again, we don't hold a whole lot of faith in being able to change federal law, and certainly would encourage you to look at allowing this tool to exist while we try to change that federal law. And the ability to contractually choose out of competing forest management agreements, the one that has in-state manufacturing and a provision to hire Alaskans and use Alaskans, allows us to do things contractually that we could never do if it were mandated by law. You cannot mandate Alaska Hire. You cannot mandate Alaska primary manufacture without federal changes. However, you can do it contractually. And you can say that in return for allowing you access to this land, we expect, or that company offers, and we accept their offer to only employ Alaskans and to build value-added facilities. So it allows you contractually to do a whole lot of things that you can't do by law.
Representative James.
And speaking against the amendment to the amendment, and although I'm sure I share the view of Representative Carney and of the rest of us here that we want to do this, we would envision that a forest management agreement may not include white spruce going to Japan, that it may in fact be hardwoods, which then it's not an issue. And so to hold this whole forest management agreement process up until we should be able to get some kind of an exemption from the feds would be taking a step backward in this whole process. And I think we should have, we've got in here to the extent permitted by law. I think that that does protect us. And in the meantime, maybe we can have a reading that what we can and can't do. So I would speak against the amendment to the amendment, even though it touches my heart.
Representative Davies.
Well, Mr. Chair, first thing, it doesn't apply just to the Tanana Valley State Forest, although presumably that's one of the things. This bill would apply statewide, and so we are setting up the possibility to have big contracts that would ship stuff out. So that there's no question about that. With respect to those contracts and the contractual arrangements here, if we were to set up a process where we were evaluating bids and we selected on the basis of the in-state requirement, that would be unconstitutional. We could be challenged. We're still the state of Alaska offering these things. We could be challenged on that basis, and we may or we may not be. But just that seems like a kind of an attempt to end run the law. And if it were obvious that we were doing that, we would be challenged. I guarantee you. And the third and last point I wish to make is that we're not requiring a change in federal law. The federal law allows for these exemptions right now. We just have to ask for it.
And get it,
but it's not a change in the law. It's not like trying to go through the whole process there and change the law.
Representative Carney.
Pass, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion on the amendment to the amendment?
I did have a question.
Representative Carney.
I hear you say that your intent would be to do this by contract. Is there no way that we can stipulate that you need to do that by contract in this legislation?
Again, we don't believe you can mandate primary manufacturer as we've discussed in this bill and have it stick. However, in the face of competing proposals, the receipt of competing proposals, you can choose the one that best serves the interests of the state of Alaska, which may include value added in the state, which may include Alaska Hire, which may include Alaska purchase of subcontractors and a whole list of desirable things, as opposed to the competing proposal that doesn't include those things.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davies.
I think what was just stated is true as long as the price is the same. But as soon as somebody offers us 1 cent less for the materials, and we don't grant that contract, and the reason we didn't grant the contract is because of in-state processing, we'll lose in court.
Is there any more discussion on amendment to the amendment? Representative
just,
James.
Okay, I just for against the amendment for the amendment is then provision F of the amendment. It does say that the processing the timber, if that's the highest and best use of the timber, and I think that we can make decisions on what benefits us the best. So the price may itself not necessarily be the determining factor.
Any other discussion? Amendment to the amendment. We'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Vice Chairman Hudson?
No.
Representative Carney?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Green?
Mr. Chairman, I request permission to pass since I didn't hear the debate.
Representative Representative.
Jack.
No.
You might as well let him pass. He's a no vote anyway.
I don't know that. I don't know what was said.
Just vote yes.
If we're continue on.
Representative James.
No.
Chairman Williams.
No. Motion failed. We'll go to the main motion.
Mr. Chair.
Main motion is at revised X-28.
I have another amendment to the main motion.
State your amendment.
I'd like to delete the severability clause at the bottom of page 8 because it's redundant with existing statutes. Basically, we don't need to clutter up the statutes with unnecessary verbiage. There's plenty of it already.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the amendment.
The amendment was just to delete the severability clause because it's redundant. We do have a general state statute that provides for severability.
I'd object. Have a roll. Any other discussion on this? Roll call vote.
Let's see who's here. Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative James?
No.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative Green?
No.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Carney?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Hudson?
No.
Chairman Williams?
No. Amendment to amendment defeated. Back to the main motion, revised X-28. Any more discussion on this?
Question.
Questions are called for. All those in favor, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Hudson?
Yes.
Representative James?
Yes.
Representative Mulder?
Yes.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Green?
Yes.
Representative Bundy? Representative Carney?
Yes.
Chairman Williams?
Yes. Motion passed. We have next amendment, X-29.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move X-29.
Any objection?
Object. Yeah. Just point it, sir. Point.
And this change is on page 2, line 30, from shall to may, which is say at least once each calendar year the commissioner, it does now say shall solicit some proposals for forest management agreements, and this just says they may. So we're not demanding that they go through something that is maybe not in the best interest of the state at the time.
Objection still. Objection? Any other objection? Any other discussion? Not. Motion's carried. X-30.
Thank you. I move X-30.
Object for discussion, sir.
Okay. And let me help me with this. This is not an amendment that I wrote. Maybe I could defer to the sponsors. More familiar with this one than I am, and he probably could do a better, quicker job for me. If that would be all right.
Sully.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment would amend the reforestation statute in the Forest Practices Act, and it would just clarify what was intended when the statute was drafted. What's been deleted, the new language is down in Section 5. And it just says, with respect to private forest land only, to the fullest extent practical, harvested forest land shall be reforested naturally or artificially. The existing law would stay, that would pertain to state and municipal forest land. This Section 5 would pertain to private lands, which it just clarifies that their harvest is not on a sustained yield basis as required by law. And it just is something that's clarified, and it was something that the private landowners had wanted to have that cleaned up in statute. And it had originally been part of our bill, not quite drafted this way, and DNR was concerned because it was connected with the state and municipal part of the statute. So we've separated out, and the DNR has no problem with this. We think it clears up what is clearly in law. And that's what it does. Still requires reforestation, and simple.
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rick, what does silviculturally mean?
I think that's really into forests.
I thought maybe it was color-coded.
Green just means reforestation.
It is.
It's forest management.
I think it's artificially.
Tree planting.
Silvicultural
acceptable. As opposed to just letting the seeds come up on their own.
Right.
Mm.
Silvicultural.
Representative Green.
Yes, is there any problem when you say economically fair price? Is that an understood term, or is that subject to conflict? Are we going to create a problem there?
Well, I don't believe so, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Green, this is existing law with the exception of deletion of the words sustained yield. So I don't think they've had a problem, and I don't anticipate that this change would make any difference.
Thank you.
Representative Davis.
Where was sustained yield in this?
What I might add, just Representative Davies, what we're trying to do is move this. The wording is in the State Forest Practices Act today, and it was put in inadvertently or I think in a different area of the bill. And what they're doing is just taking all the wording and putting it underneath, changing areas of the bill, of the Forest Practices Act. And just behind this X30 is a copy of the bill that responds to what we're talking about here. Section 5.
So they added a new section D.
Just adding a section, but there was some mention of deleting sustained yield. I want to know where that deletion was.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davies, the underlying language number 8 is just a repeat of existing law. And sustained yield, you can see, is the end of the second sentence, sustained yield.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, this part is identical to the new law in Section 5, with the exception of we've taken out after reforested. It's after reforested naturally or artificially. So we took out so as to result in. That's what's deleted down below. And then the last thing is at the end of the sentence, in existing law, the words in the state. And that was deleted from this new law that only applies to private forest land. There was some concern on the part of Tanana chiefs, I think, among others, that it might require them to purchase trees here or there, and so that was the other change. Just to clarify, the existing law stands for state and municipal, and this change is only to private land. That's what we propose. It was actually I think Forest Association that had proposed that change. Unfortunately, they're all in Ketchikan today, I think, so they were unable to be here.
This does meet the concerns of the private property owners.
Yes, okay. Any more questions? Does objections still hold?
Mr. Chairman, I'm still not convinced I understand the impact of appealing B4. What we're doing here is eliminating the application of sustained yield to private timberland. Is that the end result of what we're doing here?
That's what the end result is.
Pardon me?
The end result, what we're doing here is changing the State Forest Practices Act to eliminate sustained yield on private land?
That's...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Finkelstein, no, that is not what we're doing. Right now, there is no state requirement for sustained yield harvest on private forest land. This makes the existing law consistent with that. This is the reforestation part of the Forest Practices Act. The sustained yield harvest requirement does not apply to private forest land. So,
Mr. Chairman, I must be missing something because it says with respect to state, municipal, and private forest land. This is just reading from existing law. To the fullest extent practical, harvest forest land shall be reforested naturally or artificially to result in a sustained yield of merchantable timber from that land. That sounds to me like sustained yield to the fullest extent practical. I must be missing something. Just from the existing law that's attached.
Page 8.
I'm just reading from the part that's repealed under Section 8.
Representative Carney?
Well, if that's existing law, as a farmer who likes to get rid of the trees so the crops can grow, I'd hate to have to be forced to plant trees back if I cleared them off. If we're repealing that existing law, I think I'd be in favor of doing that.
Mr. Chairman, the
private
forest land.
But all of my farm was forest.
If I could help a bit here, Mr. Chairman, for Representative Finkelstein, if we look at the page 8, line 7, following habitat to insert, all new material to read, and we're amending at that point in time, we're amending 41.17(OC)(3) with section 4. If I got it in the right place here. Page 8, line 7. If you turn there, we've added number 8,
mm-hmm.
which is precisely the language that is in
41,
in the existing at number 4. Mm-hmm. And we've moved that to number 8.
But the impact of moving it is to make is to say it doesn't apply to private land, which is what it applies to now.
Correct.
That's correct.
Right. Well, it's Mr. Chairman, this I mean, if we're proposing, this is a big change. It maybe it's a good idea, but a decision on forest land, including private forest land, there must be some misunderstanding here that someone from Division of Forestry could help clear up, because it's certainly a major, whether right or wrong, it's a major proposal to, if there's an existing sustained yield requirement on private land, which I thought there was, and it appears to me from language there is, if we're going to remove that, we've never had any testimony on that, and that's a pretty big action to do just on the little lack, you know, isn't clear from this discussion what we've been talking about, and I'm not sure we all know what it is.
Mr. Chairman, I think what might help is for the statute itself, Title 41.17.060, to be Xeroxed.
We have it.
We all have it.
We have it.
I keep reading from it.
You all have
it? We have it here.
Well, I think if you look then where it says subsection C.
That's only for state and municipal forest.
That's correct.
It's not private.
And that's where the sustained yield requirement is contained. That only That's correct. But I think, Mr. Chairman, the point is existing law talks about sustained yield harvest for state and municipal. This reforestation is something different than harvesting. Reforestation is what you do after you cut down the trees, and the sustained yield word up there really doesn't relate to reforestation. And so what this change would do is for state and municipal land, keep the language the same, and for private land, keep the language as it should apply, which is doesn't require any sustained yield harvest. And I think, frankly, there's probably, this is to clarify the law, and there has been some concern about litigation, because as Mr. Finkelstein is trying to assert that the private forest land must be harvested at sustained yield level because the law requires it. In fact, it does not, but there are those that would maintain that, and we could have potential litigation. And that is why the Forest Association has requested this. We're not here, or Senator Frank is not here, to debate the merits of sustained yield harvest or non-sustained yield harvest in private forest land, but this is a sensible change because it clarifies what is in law and doesn't muddy the waters with the reforestation aspect of it.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm not
asserting anything. I'm just asking questions, and each time I get a different explanation now, and I don't blame anyone because we're all trying to cope with this, figure out what it means. Now, it seems to me, from what's being explained, we're removing the reforestation requirement on private lands. That's because this section coming out here, if it is, I don't see anywhere left that there's one bit of reforestation requirement on private lands.
It's in Section 5.
Section 5 shall be reforested.
So the point is then to get rid of any inference of sustained yield on private lands.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's helpful to reach that point, but that wasn't where we started on discussing this. It took a long time, a lot of questions to get anyone to admit that's what we were talking about here. And all I'll say again is that the reason I have to oppose this is because we just have not had any discussion on this. We haven't had any public testimony on this. This may be a small thing. It's just a clarification of the law as being suggested. That may be completely right. But we don't have anyone from the Division of Forests. We haven't had any public comment. And maybe it's a big deal. Maybe sustained yield on private land was the intent of the Forest Practices Act and has been an issue. And that's just to explain why I have to continue to oppose it.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the concerns that were expressed just before. We really haven't heard from forestry or anyone, and this is the first time that this has been in front of us, obviously. And secondly, I would note that it doesn't, what the existing statute says is to the fullest extent practicable. So, if you have private land and you intend to put it into agriculture, then it's not practical to replant it, obviously. So it's just, I think all it's saying is that if you have private land and you're managing it as a forest, that to the extent that you can, we'd like you to follow the sustained yield principle. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't understand why we'd want to change that.
Representative James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just one quick question. I don't see why we should tell private land what they should do with their land. I think that I think that this is a good amendment, and I will have to say I'm supporting this because it is the Tanana Chiefs, the Native corporations that are interested in this, and I feel like we should support them.
Question.
Representative James.
One more point. The Forest Practices Act was enacted after a huge amount of public involvement and consensus debate, and which you just referred to earlier, Mr. Chair. And I suspect that this is not a trivial aspect of that previous debate. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I just suspect that it probably wasn't a trivial issue. And it probably was in there as a trade-off against some other consideration. And so I think for us to change it here without having an adequate amount of debate is not good public policy.
Let me tell you a little bit about the background of this Forest Practices Act, whether or not Chris can tell me if I'm right or wrong. But during the negotiations to get the Forest Practices Act out, and you two probably know more about it than I, there was a lot of negotiations done, and one of the things that was said at the negotiations was that none of this would be done unless they all agreed. Nothing would be done with the Forest Practices Act unless they all agreed to it. So I'm sure, and there was some discussion on the Senate side about Forest Practices Act, changing it in this sort, and the Forest Association got very nervous about even debating or discussing the Forest Practices Act, that portion of the bill, that amendment, which was sponsored by the sponsor of the bill, was pulled out of the amendment. I don't know what amendment was, but this amendment wasn't part of the discussion on the other side. I would like to think that the Forest Association, Alaska Forest Association, wouldn't step out in front and try to cut everybody down on this. It took so much push and pull to get to this position of the Forest Practices Act. I think it was over 2 years of negotiations to get where we are today. If it would make the people, the committee members, a little more comfortable. There are probably two other amendments here that this, if you feel uncomfortable about it, what I would like to do would be to hold this amendment until Monday, and until we get the Forest Association here. We also have another amendment here that I'm sure will be controversial, and that's X 38. That was in Senate. That was in House Bill 215 or 315. Our land bill 515. So what I'd like to do, if we can hold those two until Monday, unless the committee members feels that we can go along with this, I'll leave it up to the committee members. What are the wishes? Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we seem to be gradually losing our committee here. I wonder if we could wait until Monday to do the rest of these amendments.
Last one.
Well, I'm starting to fidget.
Well,
is there some urgency that we have to get this out today?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to stay here and do it while my head's in it.
I think.
I'm willing to stay, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll go on then with 30 if we're on X 30. Any more discussion on X 30? Representative Davies.
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, you just said yourself, and we haven't heard from the Forest Association, we haven't heard from anyone on this issue, or that the environmental groups have no clue that, for example, that this is up in front of us. Because it's, you know, it comes here, you know, without having a lot of debate. And I guess the last thing I would like to say is it really, I don't know why it's required for the bill. It's not required by Senate Bill 310. It's an amendment to the Forest Practices Act, and it really doesn't need to happen in this vehicle. I mean, if it's a good idea to do it, why don't we introduce it as a bill all by itself, or and maybe some other amendments to the Forest Practices Act, and have a vehicle that focuses on the Forest Practices Act? Let's only do those things in Senate Bill 310 that are required to be done for a forest management agreement. I don't see any requirement whatsoever under FMAs to do this.
Representative Mr. Chairman, per your request, I would withdraw this amendment subject to talking about it again on Monday after we have a chance to talk to those other people. I'd like to not ditch it, but I would, at your request, put it off until Monday, if that's what you want to do.
No objections. We'll do that.
The same with 38.
We are now with X-33. Representative Davies.
Oh, 33? I'm sorry. I don't have a 33. Is that mine?
Oh, not.
Yes.
There's your name on
did
it.
Did you take it
No.
Did you sell it? What did I do?
Sure. For further discussion? Or?
I know. I'd like to move 33, but for some reason I don't have it in my packet.
Object.
I have an extra.
Thank you. I got one. Thanks.
Okay. Object.
Representative Davies.
Okay, this would require the commissioner to conduct biennial performance reviews of the agreement throughout the term of the agreement. So it means every 2 years the commissioner would have to come in and determine whether or not we're following the contract. And one of the criticisms that I've heard time and time again with Forest Practices Acts and in other areas is that it's difficult to catch up to violations of the Act. One of the major justifications for a Forest Practices Act is that we don't have the resources to plan, design, lay out, and monitor a lease sale. And so what we're going to do is we're going to shift a lot of the costs of doing this from the state over to the person who has the forest management agreement with the state. But Mr. Chair, if we don't audit that agreement fairly regularly, we will have no way to know whether they're following the terms of the agreement. And so I think that it's only reasonable to request that the commissioner regularly, and I'm suggesting every 2 years, maybe you'd like to make it three or something, but I'm suggesting that we should require a regular review of the performance of the contract to make sure that we don't have a situation where we slip way out of compliance and then it's too late to do anything about it. So I think we should keep up on our audit requirements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would object to this, and not because I don't agree with the representative as to the need to review, but to identify to conduct a biennial performance review does not necessarily have any definition. And I would hope and insist that we have monitoring that does not necessarily mean every 2 years. And I would expect that there would be some method by which forest management agreements would be monitored. I think we would be totally delinquent if we were to just put our forest out to some agreement and not be monitoring that agreement. So every 2 years to take a look at it? No, I don't think so. And I don't know what a biennial performance review is, and I would prefer to have another method where we have ongoing monitoring.
Any other discussion? Representative Davies.
Would you like me to offer an amendment that would suggest that they conduct continuous performance reviews?
No. And not when I don't have DNR to ask exactly what they would anticipate.
Well, Mr. Chair, maybe we should adjourn this until we could have... I agree with what you just said. We don't have DNR here. We're offering... there's nobody from the Forest Group here. We're offering all these amendments that might impact this
whole
operation.
I'm not offering these amendments.
Well, I am. and we don't have anybody here to respond to these kinds of questions, which are, I think... And I
trust me.
Trust you. Trust we saw what happened. We walked out of the room the last time. We're done.
You
redeemed
yourself, though.
Huh?
He redeemed himself.
But I took that back. Mr. Chair, I apologize, and I take it back. But the... I guess, but the fundamental point I was making, I think, is of some concern that we don't have anybody here from forestry.
Representative Davies?
Sir.
Are you going to bring this up on the floor again?
I don't know. I might. It depends. I won't have Division of Forestry there either, though.
Any other discussion on this? If not, we'll call for the question.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Hudson?
I'm trying to find it.
This is yes.
I'm going to say no, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Carney?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative James?
No.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Chairman Williams?
Deal.
Motion's defeated. We have amendment number X34, Representative Davies.
Oh, that's what's going on. I move 34.
Object.
Object.
Mr. Chair, amendment is offered our former Attorney General, who points out that there is absolutely nothing in this bill that requires any resemblance between the final agreement and the proposed final agreement. And it's one of the bases for his principal concern that we're giving way too much power to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. And so all I'm doing in the first part of this is the page 5, line 6 part, is asking that the final agreement contain those elements which we have said should be in the proposed final agreement. Seems like a major loophole that's been left in this bill that the commissioner, I don't think suggesting that he would necessarily, but it's quite possible. There's nothing in this bill that requires that the final agreement resemble the proposed final agreement in any way. There's not one constraint. So all I'm saying here is just to say the proposed final agreement and the final agreement shall contain these requirements. That's the first part of this amendment. The next part says that after timber, we would insert the words, which may not be less than fair market value, and adjusted annually using a nationally recognized index. This is an attempt to get at one of the other major criticisms of forest, long-term forest practices agreements, which is that we offer the timber for sale, and then we go on through a period of 20 years when inflation goes up and hardly ever goes down, almost always goes up. And at the end of this period of time, we're selling timber at a very sweetheart deal kind of rate. And all I'm suggesting here is that the initial sale should be at fair market value, and that there should be some kind of index that indexes the cost of the timber so that at the end of these agreements, especially if we renew them for, you know, there's an opportunity to renew for another 20-year period. In 40 years, market conditions change dramatically, and I think that some kind of recognition of whatever the underlying rate of inflation is should be taken into account in these contracts. You certainly wouldn't borrow. You know, you go to a bank and try to borrow money to build a house, and you know they're not going to loan you that money at a flat sort of no interest loan, which is effectively what this would be. This is not, if you don't take into account inflation, you're giving away the farm. And the next item of this, the third major item in this amendment, is that the cost of construction, maintenance, and necessary access roads and other necessary infrastructure shall be paid by the operator. This is, I think, just a fundamental part of what we should be insisting on. That's part of the agreement here, is that we want these things to be self-sustaining. Part of the basic principle is that we want the FMA to pay for itself. Clearly, the construction of necessary access roads should be paid by the operator in these things. And I think that we should, in this final agreement, that we should just insist that that's the case. And we should insist up front so everyone knows that's what we're, the game rules that we're playing under. And let's see, I've lost my bill here. Page 695. This is, again, one of the provisions. The provisions for deactivation or termination that may include bonding. I would suggest here that these provisions must include bonding. And this would be to ensure reforestation, stabilization, monitoring of other residual obligations. These would be residual obligations in case that this thing went belly up and they disappeared, that we require that there's bonding. So, Mr. Chair, those are the four major things I'm trying to accomplish with this amendment.
Would you like to?
Mr. Chairman, can I speak for 1 second? My name is Christopher Gates, and I'm the Director of Division of Economic Development. Most forest management agreements do anticipate consumer price index escalators or some nationally recognized index escalator. The issue that you really should be debating is whether that should be mandatory or not, and that's a perfectly valid issue. There is a small argument for the flexibility of being able to have the flexibility to not offer, to not compel or require a CPI escalator, just as a tool of negotiating or a tool of the forest management area. I can't imagine personally ever entering into one that wouldn't have one. However, the question is it wise to compel that as a tool for every forest management agreement that you can anticipate? And I can't say that it's valid for everyone. With regard to the last one, I think this does have to do with the flexibility of the tool of these forest management agreements that we're anticipating. There can be small forest management agreements just to supply a chopstick plant, just for selective harvesting out of one area, not clear cut, not huge areas. There can be very customized forest management agreements to do special things, some of which may or may not be wise to command absolutely mandate bonding, and to limit your flexibility of this tool may not be wise. Again, compelling of investment, yes, we certainly anticipate bonding, but for the small custom ones that we can't even possibly even anticipate now, you may not want to have that absolute requirement in there.
Representative Carney,
did you speak to the concern about road construction?
Thank you very much. I do think, again, normally the cost of road construction will always be included in the operator's cost. However, if you're accessing a whole new part of the world and you think it's important to provide access for the Kuskokwim area, and you understand the market cannot possibly tolerate the cost of access to that big region, you may want to put the trunk road in as the state, as an economic development effort, as a tool to access that chunk of the state, and then the individual roads, to the units, to the manufacturing plants, those of course would be covered. But under this reading, the major trunk roads also would have to be covered by the FMAs, and that may truly not be possible. It may limit your ability to open up different areas of the state that have good timber.
Thank you.
Representative James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Even though I agree wholeheartedly with all of the things that's in this amendment, that they ought to be part of the FMA, I am not real willing to put them all in there. Regarding the cost of construction and maintenance of necessary access roads, part of the provisions that the proposed final agreement must include is the provisions regarding the responsibilities for construction and maintenance of access roads. So that would be part of the program. The fair market value, I have a real problem. I always have had with the problem with fair market value. What does that mean? And that means the biggest price that anybody's willing to pay generally. And I don't know that there is any place that we can use a nationally recognized index that is suitable for measuring inflation or deflation in the cost of comparable stumpage. There probably is a general overall value of timber, product and so forth, but I don't know that there is for stumpage a value, because what makes the stumpage value is the determining factor of whether or not something is financially feasible depends on the end product. And in many cases where there is bidding on a federal forest timbers, there will be a minimum bid that is allocated, and then people will bid over that. And I don't have a real problem with putting in a minimum bid, that the department would indicate what a minimum bid is. But we're talking here about a forest management agreement that presumably there is some best interest in the state that's going to be devised out of this management agreement. And I would expect that they would pay full price for the timber, that we wouldn't reduce that. I guess that I feel a little bit more comfortable in having that part of the temporary agreement that is put out for the people to see whether that is in the best state interest, and that they would be able to determine that, as opposed to putting this amendment. I will say again that I agree with the thought and theory in the amendment. I'm just not quite willing to put it in the way that it is here.
Representative Davies.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to divide the question. And the way I'd like to divide the question is to just to offer as one amendment the first part of this, which is the agreement, final agreement, so the first page, 5, line 6, and the second part would be the other items that we were just discussing, the rest of the amendment. And the reason for doing that is that I sense that people agree substantially with what we're trying, you know, with the concerns here, but they're not willing to go along with making them mandatory. But I would like to get a separate vote on whether or not they want the final agreement to look like the proposed final agreement.
I can't agree on the whole thing, John. So, is there any objection to dividing it?
I don't have any objection to the first part.
Which portion would you like to talk about?
Top two lines.
So just the top two lines, page 5, line 6, okay. After agreement, insert, and the final agreement. I'd like to move that separately. So can we have that before us now?
Representative Davies has moved page 5, line 6, after agreement, and insert, and final agreement. Any objection to that? I object.
Okay.
Pardon?
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, could I hear from Chris on his observation on it?
Thank you. My page 5, line 6 says a proposed final agreement.
It says the proposed final agreement, not the final agreement.
You're saying insert and the
after final agreement.
After proposed final agreement and the final agreement.
Excuse me.
Okay.
This is the concern that was fundamentally brought up by former Attorney General Cole, and this is the one of the reasons why he's concerned that we're giving too much power to the Commissioner of Natural Resources, that there's no requirement that the final agreement represent the proposed final agreement. And I think it's clearly what our intent is in here. I think it's kind of one of these logical oversights, you know, in drafting a complicated bill. And I would hope that people would support me on this.
The sponsor doesn't object.
Mr. Chairman, it's solely for Senator Steve Frank. This seems like a good amendment, and we would support it.
Any objections?
No objection, but just a comment, Mr. Chairman. And that is that we'll have to go back and read the bill. When does the Attorney General's office look at this agreement? And there may be some wording changes between the proposed final and the final. However, these list of things that must be in there would have to be in there. Right. And I don't have any problem with that. I just don't want to get hung up on something that just because it isn't word for word, it doesn't go by.
It's just the provisions. You know, none of these things are mandatory,
right,
as we've been discussing. It's just that it has to have these provisions or considerations in it. And as I understand it, the Attorney General reviews this for its format. The proposed form of the final agreement is looked at.
And Mr. Chairman, in all of the drafting we've done, it has always been assumed that the final agreement would be involving these. So
right.
Right on.
Any objections to the amendment, line 5, or page 5, line 6, after agreement? No objections, so pass. Your second motion?
The second motion would be the remainder of amendment X34, which I don't think I need to repeat.
Okay. Representative Green?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if the maker of the remainder of this would consider under insert the value and may be adjusted. If that's not acceptable, would he consider dropping that portion before we get to the next piece? In other words,
yeah, I understand what you're
okay.
saying. I would consider that.
Pardon?
I don't object to that. If you want to offer, is that an amendment?
It's a friendly amendment.
Say that again, now.
About the eighth word out there after insert, which may not be less than the fair market value, and may, instead of shall, be adjusted annually? Because I can see situations where the reason I'm offering that, where that could actually be prohibited, and that...
Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not so sure we want to have a requirement in the law to annually adjust the stumpage prices or anything, any other provision of the contract, because if what we're trying to do here is to lure corporations into investing, you know, $80 million as an example, into some sort of a plywood or particle board factory or something like that, they may need to have a little more flexibility, and the commissioner and the commissioner's negotiating team may need to have that flexibility to require that it automatically be adjusted on an annual basis. I don't think it's good.
Well, he just took that out.
Yeah, which it doesn't require.
Oh, maybe.
My suggestion was to change it to may or to drop that section.
But I think if you drop it, it would be fine, because I think that if you put may in there, may be adjusted annually using an index or something like that, well, you know, it may be adjusted not necessarily using an index, but perhaps by some sort of a negotiated provision. I just don't think that we, personally, I don't support that provision at all.
The most important problem with this, in my opinion, is the fair market value part of it, because we may, in fact, want to encourage people to put in plants and give 2 or 3 years lax or lower rates while they're building their plant and arranging their financing. You're taking away a major tool by compelling fair market value for always for trees under all forest management agreements. It's a tremendous amount of flexibility to encourage investment if you can give a period of time of forgiveness or a 50% of fair market value rate of stumpage as an inducement to bring those in.
Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, this is not an unknown tool that's been used in the state of Alaska. We never would have had the oil industry down on the Kenai Peninsula had we not been able to have the flexibility of encouraging and encouraging that those kinds of investments into that area.
Any other discussion on this? Call for the question. Roll call. We're voting on the 34B. Second 34B.
As amended.
As
amended.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right.
Joe, you sorry.
Move to amend. 34B as amended.
Well, that was a friendly amendment. Mm-hmm.
There was no objection to the
friendly.
There was no objection to changing it from shell to may.
Just page 5, line 12. That part is that.
The
whole rest of the page. Oh, okay.
Question.
Question's been called for. We are, what we're dealing with now is page 5, line 12 after timber, page 5, line 19 after agreement, page 6, line 5, delete may and must, insert must. And that's with X 34.
Representative Carney?
Yes.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Vice Chairman Hudson?
No.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Representative James?
No.
Representative Green?
No. No.
Three yes plans. Chairman Williams?
No. Motion defeated, yes. Representative Green?
I would like to offer as an amendment, starting with line 5, page 5, line 19, the last two, in other words. Because I think those two, they may be redundant. You say that you do require roads now.
Well, roads must be considered in the plan, but this would require that the road costs, even the major truck access roads to a new area, would have to be covered by the forest management agreement, and that may not be that may not give you the flexibility that you might want to have.
Are you moving that, Representative Green?
Yes.
I object.
The concern that I have, if that's the case, that
Representative Green and I might add, just it looks like what we're doing here. We voted on this already, and what we're doing here is going over it again. We could be here all night going through each portion of the amendment. This was voted on. This portion of it has been voted on.
And I submit, Mr. Chairman, if I may, that the part that I think it was so objectionable was the part that I'm not putting in this amendment.
Representative Green, it's the same amendment.
Are you ruling me out of order then?
I don't want to rule you out of order, Representative Green.
He likes you.
I'd like for you to... what I'm trying to say is that this portion of the amendment has been discussed and voted on at once already. And I would like to think it was out of order. But,
Mr. Chair, could we have a brief at Eastwood? Very little short time.
Go ahead. Representative Green, I rule your amendment out of order. Next amendment is 30X35, Representative Davies.
Mr. Chair, this amendment has essentially been offered before as an amendment to another amendment, so I will withdraw it. But Mr. Chair, I would like to recast one part of this of the last amendment in a different way. And I don't know if you want me to offer that now or you want me to wait until we're done with all the rest of the other ones and then offer it. I would suggest it be more fruitful to offer it right now since we've been talking about it.
If you word it differently, it doesn't affect the what Representative Davies and Representative Finkelstein, you can tell me if I look at this as just being very frivolous. It's just being very nitpicking.
Mr. Chair, I do not regard these as frivolous. I've spent hours thinking about this bill.
Excuse me. We've discussed this amendment in a whole and voted on the amendment, okay? And we can come up here on this next amendment, X35 or whatever it is. Which one was it?
36.
And go down to the bottom on number 2 and just say, well, let's make that 2,000 acres. Or let's make that 500,000 acres.
Mr. Chair, I'm proposing
to
make...
Keep that on going all night.
No, I'm not proposing to do that. I'm not being frivolous. I'm proposing to make what I think is a fundamental change in only one portion of this, which addresses what I think are the concerns that I heard raised in a way, and I heard some support for some aspects of what I was proposing, and I think I've got a way to change it so that it will address the fundamental concern that was issued with respect only to one small portion of it.
And let's hear.
Okay, what I want to talk about is essentially the third portion of this, which is the page 5, line 19 after agreement, and it's the cost of construction, maintenance, and necessary access roads. What I'd like to do is insert the word temporary access roads. And then I think that would get rid of the concern that the department
has to construct them.
Because the state could construct then the permanent roads, the permanent infrastructure, and then the FMA would only be required to pick up the cost of the temporary roads.
I believe.
Which probably will happen in most cases anyway, but it just would make me more comfortable if we required that.
It's been moved. I object for discussion. Chris?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Again, my name is Christopher Gates, and that is very important and I think a very beneficial change to my concern with the page 519 amendment. However, again, it is still limiting flexibility of the commissioner to do the best he can to craft a good forest management agreement. So while it's a substantial improvement, it is still a limitation to his ability to play with all aspects to get the best mix of components for the state.
could we go back up again here so we get this clear for the record, Representative Davies? The cost, what you're moving right now is the cost of the construction and maintenance of permanent access roads.
No, necessary temporary access roads.
Necessary temporary access roads and other necessary infrastructure shall be paid by the operator.
Right.
The objection still is by Representative James.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess that here again, and we had a circumstance previous to this in another amendment, is when we put things in this like this, I see this as detrimental to the process only because it identifies what we say they're at least going to pay for, and I'm really hoping they're going to pay for all of them. If we put in there that they will pay for the temporary, it could be assumed by the proposer that that's the only ones he does have to, and that may end up what we get when, in fact, there may be sufficient timber and value to pay for all of them. So if we put something in there, I think it's also not only not protecting us as much as it's limiting us. And so I'd rather have that be up to the proposer and be part of the proposal for a forest management agreement without any restrictions. Because putting restrictions in that are too lax may have just the opposite effect on that, net result.
Is there any other discussion on this?
Question.
Roll call vote on this.
Representative James?
No.
Vice Chairman Hudson?
No.
Representative Carney?
Yes.
Representative Finkelstein?
Yes.
Representative Mulder?
No.
Representative Davies?
Yes.
Chairman Williams?
No. Is there any more on this page
no.
that you'd like to
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Any machinations?
Okay, we'll go to Representative Davies.
I'd like to move 36.
I object.
Question.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair, this amendment would apply specifically to the Tennenbaum Valley drainage and not to statewide. And what it would do is limit the total amount of acreage of land that would be contained in a single FMA.
Representative James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess the question of the maker of this, we're talking about not necessarily a single FMA, but any FMA. You're putting a limit on in the Tennenbaum Valley drainage. If there were more than one FMA, that's the most that you want to do. Is that what you're trying to say by this
no.
amendment? Or that you're saying an FMA shouldn't have that much more than that?
No, it says the operator under an agreement. And it also talks about a single calendar year.
Some of my concerns, let me share. And I believe in Al Pegg's testimony, he indicated that, and he's talking about spruce, that we had capabilities of doing 5,000 acres a year, and that we're currently doing 1,000 acres a year. So there's a spruce. But this doesn't make any provision at all for hardwoods. And so I guess I have a little bit of problem with, again, putting these limits on there, even though I would like to send them the message that we don't want everything gone in a year. But I'm not sure these are good numbers. I'm not comfortable with those numbers to know that they're representative of what would be what someone would want to do or what we would want them to do.
Sure.
Representative
Davies.
Davies. Sir.
Are you getting so unhappy with me that you're forgetting
no.
your name?
No.
I hope not.
Turn your nameplates around.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm confused.
That gentleman there, I know him.
And he's Con Carney.
Representative,
we better finish up here pretty soon. Who knows what will develop?
Mr. Chair, if you lose one more person, we could get something done.
I know it.
Depends on who it was.
Representative Davies.
What's he going on?
I'm trying to proceed in order, Mr. Chair.
Please continue, sir.
Thank you. And just note that it is under a single agreement. And there are two distinctions, a total of 6,000 acres, and then a subtotal of acres that are in white spruce. So it does get to the hardwood issue, perhaps indirectly.
Representative Putson.
How much, Representative Davies, how much timberland, general timberland, is available in comparison to the 6,000 acres of land in the Tanana Valley drainage?
About 1.5 million.
1.5 million acres there that would be available for timber harvesting, and you're suggesting that we limit it to 6,000 acres? And how about white spruce acres? Do we know?
I don't have that information in front of me.
Do you have any idea, also through the chair, of the approximate, not acres so much, but say board feet? Do we have any idea of what, say, the total timber availability and millions of board feet?
A number is coming back to me. I believe that the Representative James is correct. Was correct. There's about 5,000 acres per year that could be cut in white spruce, and this would limit a single agreement to a fifth of that.
1,000.
Chris?
Mr. Chairman, the concept that we had tried to advance carefully in our drafting was the concept of sustained yield, multiple use, and good hard scientific evidence and a balancing of values as controlling the amount of acreage in a given area and the types of things that could be done. To set truly arbitrary limits kind of goes away from that principle and goes away from those kinds of principles, and again, takes away the flexibility of people to craft very good agreements.
Representative Davies?
Mr. Chair, these numbers are not arbitrary. They were based on an estimate of the total amount of acreage available and what was considered to be a reasonable maximum for the total that should be allowed in an MLA. Mr. Chair, this gets at one of the fundamental concerns of representatives in my district, and I just, maybe this would be the appropriate, if I can find it. Just a brief at ease to find a piece of paper here. Did I do this?
There's some.
That little green thing that had the lines on it. You never seen it?
I got four trees right here.
Yeah.
With four trees?
Yeah.
No, here.
No, it's a little green piece of paper.
Green.
Yeah. Oh,
that's well, I can. Yeah, I know. I have the same problem Representative James does.
Got too many papers.
Too many sheets of moving on. I'll try to find this and I'll make the point later, but I'll make it in general right now without the specific numbers. The point I wanted to make is that I've received something like 275 POMs on this issue total. And they're running 4-1 opposed to this agreement, this bill. And one of the fundamental reasons why people are opposed to this is because they have a vision of some really big foreign national corporation or some other group coming in, and they're it's not so much that it's an outside corporation is the concern, it's really the size. And what people are mostly concerned about is they want the scale of an FMA to be limited. They're not opposed necessarily to a long-term contract. They're opposed to having some really big operation that requires huge amounts of acreage every year to be clear-cut. That's really the bottom underlying concern of most of the people who are talking to me. And what this amendment gets to, it's not arbitrary, it's not frivolous, it tries to look at a reasonable amount of the forest that could be set aside in long-term agreements, that it's big enough that we could capitalize some small plants, but it's not so big that it allows us to capitalize big plants, and that's really what it's getting at. It's really trying to get a reasonable scale given the size of the Tanana Forest. And it doesn't affect the rest of the state. You guys can do what you want with the rest of the state, but the people in my district are really concerned about this particular issue.
Any other discussion on this? Representative James.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I share the concerns that the Representative Davies is presenting. I just have the fears that when we put these restrictions in, that we're tying the hands of a solicited bid from someone, and that when that proposal goes out to the public, if in fact it does, that there is an opportunity for the public to determine that that is certainly more than they are willing to support. And I think that they will be listened to. So, you know, there's 30 million acres in the Tanana Valley Basin, and I don't know that would be 5,000 acres of the hardwoods here that would be available, or if it was 1,000 acres of white spruce. And then I've already been told that there's 4,000 more acres available in white spruce by Mr. Pegg from Four Star Lumber. So, you know, I just don't feel comfortable with these numbers, even though I do understand the concern that the representative has presented. So based on what I know at this moment, I can't support this amendment.
Chris.
These are very valid concerns. And all what you're doing here is you're eliminating the possibility that an operator could propose something that is acceptable to the people that contains more acres. It could have something quite acceptable, quite 30 million acres. You could lay out the cuts so that there would be very little impact to the people, at least allow the operator the chance to convince people. There's two public hearing exercises. Allow him the chance to convince the people that a cut is appropriate at a higher level.
I think, you know, just a little bit, it was asked how long it would take to cut 6,000 acres of property. You could do it within a season, less than a season.
Question.
Mr. Chair, this is meant to be an annual limit, not a total limit.
I understand.
Okay, so it's intended that this would be cut in a season.
Rick?
Mr. Chairman, Rick Soley, Senator from Chief Pines Office. Since the DNR isn't here today, I might offer some statistics that they provided just to put things in perspective. As Representative James mentioned, there's about 30 million acres of land in the Tanana Basin. About 3.4 of that is classified as forest land or in the Tanana Valley State Forest. And the sustained yield estimates of harvest are between 16 and 20,000 acres a year. That means that this amendment is talking about 6,000, which is about 25 to 33% of the sustained yield harvest that you would cap it at.
Mr. Chairman, so this isn't a cap. This is per.
Please, Representative Finkelstein.
And finally, the DNR tells us that there's about 95,000 acres of trees that burn.
We move on to the
scrub is true, but just to put it in terms that maybe we can understand how much of land we're talking about.
Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Chairman, it was the previous amendment that set a cap on the amount that could go into FMAs. This is just the amount you can put in each one. You could put actually the entire area into FMAs. There's no cap on in this one. It's just the size of the FMAs.
Mr. Chairman, on that note, I guess that my concern is if this is not intended to be a cap on the cut, this is only the cap on FMAs cut.
On a single FMA cut, right.
Then what we're doing is limiting an FMA as to what kinds of operations they could have.
That's precisely.
And that may, in fact, and principally would, maybe eliminate an FMA.
Yeah, a large.
And our exercise that we're going through here, is to encourage FMAs for future development and in-state processing. So I think that it would be defeative if we were to put something in that would then discourage FMAs for making a financial feasible study. Even though I support the concept and I am concerned that we don't want too much to be happening, I think we have protections already.
Representative the babies.
Thank you, sir. I know it's getting late. Mr. Chair, Representative James, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what this does. This would limit large FMAs
in
the Tanana Valley. And that is the overwhelming testimony of the people that talk to us, the people that have written to me, the people that have phoned me up. They don't want to limit the use of the forest as long as it's used at an appropriate scale. But they are deathly afraid of some big, large operation coming in there and clear-cutting their backyard. That's the issue right there. And what this tries to get at is exactly what you said. It would limit the large FMAs. It would do nothing at all to discourage the smaller ones.
I would like to talk just a little bit about that. This is happening here in Natongas. You know, we had talked about view sheds. This is what we are doing here in Natongas here. I believe and I think that that is probably true, that the view sheds are very important. I think that I sympathize with them. But one of the things that we are being beat up with now on in the Tongass Forest Management Practices Act, or Tongass Management, whatever it is, we're logging out there. One of the things that they say to us, it's continuously saying to the timber industry, is that we are subsidizing you. Okay, we're subsidizing the timber industry. We're giving you away free wood. One of the things that's put into the into this area is that the cost of the view sheds, building roads to the view sheds, somebody has to pay for it. The people that ask to have the view sheds left there, the timber left so it doesn't hurt their view, we have to go out. If there's a mountainside here, we have to look at the water. Where is that going to, how's that going to affect the water? It's at the view shed from the water. We have to go around the other side so we can't see it. Well, it costs a little bit of money to get around the other side instead of just doing it on this side so we can get the view shed taken care of. The cost is prohibited, as you know. We are beat up every day. Representative Finkelstein got up on the floor the other day and said how much we're subsidizing the forest industry and not talking about this issue here. Of why are we having the why is it costing so much to do this? And